Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to Maths Hysteria, a podcast all about Married at First Sight with me, Omar Abid, Sarah Clark at Sarah Clark Celebrates on Instagram, and Claire Limmer Abid. Claire's back!
Yay! You didn't miss me.
Well, so
I did.
Back
Sarah
day.
Did.
I live with you.
So. I missed you.
Oh, thank you.
Missed you too.
It was a good episode, though.
Oh, thank you.
I enjoyed listening, even though it was depressing.
I know, there wasn't any happy news, but we tried to laugh around it. Laugh at other people's missiles, Schadenfreude. I was going to say it's a weird feeling now, because this show completely takes over your life, especially if you have a two-weekly podcast, bi-weekly podcast.
Yeah.
But we're in the final straight. There's only next week.
Next week, and
then
it's done.
That's it. Because in the teaser, we saw them doing their...
Fine. You watched the teaser?
I saw a tiny bit of the teaser as I was diving for the remote. Of them in their like wedding outfits again.
Slow motion walking through a forest and all that sort of stuff.
Dramatic music.
So got all that to come, but yeah.
Yeah, and then it's over, isn't it?
I know. But so I much can happen though before then.
It can. I've heard rumours of another... big twist.
I thought you were say another couple.
And that's exactly what I thought you were going to say. Intruder couples.
Week 9. What have you heard a rumour about? A twist?
Well, no. Yeah, I've heard that there's... I don't know specifically what it is, but there is actually something at the very end of the series. Because, to be honest, it feels like since Thomas and Ros left, which was only... just 2 days ago.
48 hours ago.
Yeah. It does feel like everyone sort of...
Omar, that was literally 48 hours ago. It's been really boring since then. I wouldn't call it boring.
It's not been boring. No. It's like we spoke about on Tuesday's episode before the commitment ceremony when we thought they were going to leave.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's they're the ones that everyone's invested in. Anyway, before we come to all that, because I wanted to say this, the big news of the week, I don't know if you know this, Claire, but you'll be excited.
Okay.
Girls Aloud are reforming.
Are they?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah. The radio was on before this and they were playing The Promise.
What?
And I was
I heard The Promise. I heard that.
Oh. Yeah. It's quite sad though because Sarah Harding passed away.
Yeah.
There's only 4 of them. Oh. Okay. Well, all the bands have come back together because Steps were touring, S Club, weird, don't know how many.
Yeah, there's like three or something. JLS.
Were they?
Apparently.
JLS. Mm-hmm. 5, were they doing it?
Probably.
Backstreet Boys.
NSYNC.
Probably.
I don't think NSYNC were.
No, they did something.
With Justin?
Yeah. Because there were lots of memes going around about them, about how the gay ones aged the best.
Better than JT?
Yeah.
Wow.
JT's about to get cancelled.
Is he?
Well, Britney's book's out.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Anyway, this podcast is not about Britney.
Are we going to branch out into celeb news?
Should we get to maths?
Okay. Well, before we get onto this week's episodes, we should also say that, Claire, you missed out on interviewing Mel.
I know. Can you believe that?
I can, because you've frequently expressed a deep hatred for her.
Don't say that. Mel listens.
It's
not true, Mel. I know. I was gutted to miss it, but yeah, I was not able to do it. So
yeah,
that's what happens. I was gutted.
We didn't want to coercively control you and make you do it against your will.
Yeah, it was
trick you.
Yeah, it's for a special episode, coercive control special, which we're going to release this Sunday. I'll have an interview with Mel. Lots of practical advice about if you're in a coercive relationship, if you think one of your friends is. Then also we're talking to comedian and barrister Chris Keogh about the legal side of things, so hopefully it'll be useful for people.
It's really interesting. Yeah, really practical one.
Yeah, it should be good.
Because normally we're no help at all.
We just told people about Girls Aloud.
That's true.
All right then, well, we'll start with the commitment ceremony. And I guess since we didn't hear from you, Claire, about Monday night's episode and Thomas and Roz breaking up, let's start with, I mean, they left, which was sort of what we'd predicted. Well, it was what we predicted.
Yeah. So that was Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Commitment ceremony. Right.
What did you make emotionally of Roz and Thomas, like, ending things?
Yeah. Well, everybody was sad, wasn't it? You could see everybody in that room was crying.
Yeah.
Charlene was crying.
Yeah.
They were all really moved by it. And we've talked about Roz's honesty before, haven't we? And I felt for her in that moment having to be that honest. Because she obviously felt like she had to say that about the, I do want kids but not with Thomas. And that was the final straw, wasn't it?
Brutal.
She obviously felt she had to be honest about it.
He was still in there saying, you know, I want to fight for you.
I know.
So. But did you hear what he said? He said, I thought maybe it was just you were having cold feet. Or I thought maybe it was confusion. I didn't realise it was that. Yeah. And he looked really hurt. And like we've said, we do respect her honesty, but that's a really hard thing to hear.
Yeah.
And what I didn't quite understand, she said, you are the most beautiful, genuine person I've ever met. Can two things be true? Like, you know, my favourite phrase. Can it be true that somebody is the most beautiful, genuine person you've ever met and you don't see them potentially being the father of your children? To cut it off and be like,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you think
is what I said to you, isn't it? She's just not that into
him. This is
him.
What, yeah, Claire's
been... we've known it, really, haven't we? We have known it, that she's not that into him, really. I think we've always known it.
At the beginning, but then it was like, oh, they are into each other. That's why everyone's so sad. It's not been like a case of one's more committed than the other.
No.
She wasn't into him to start with, and then it seemed like she really was.
Yeah, and obviously that is sometimes unexplainable, isn't it? You can't really put your finger on what it is, but it wasn't there for her. And then I think it does take like a catalyst to bring that type of relationship to an end. Which was the homestay. It's that thing of, I'm going to have to make a decision soon because this is coming to an end. And I think that's panicked her a little bit, because really she probably knew what her decision was. Well, she did, didn't she?
And then when they sat on the sofa, because they had been one of the most genuine couples, it was almost like we were like flies on the wall of watching a couple genuinely break up. So I think everybody was crying because it wasn't a performance. It wasn't. Yeah. It didn't feel like it was an experiment or a TV show. It felt like you're watching a couple break up in a cafe or at home, you know, like you were actually seeing it happen before your eyes.
Yeah.
But I do think...
You do hang around a cafe watching.
Are they breaking up or is that a proposal? Because I'll be in there if it's a proposal.
Excuse me, I'm a very astute businesswoman, and as a wedding celebrant, I'm sniffing around if anyone's together. Oh dear, now get back together, I'll marry you. I think it's really hard because I think Thomas's self-esteem, I mean, we've seen him now, he's looking quite hench on Instagram, I think he's absolutely fine. But he's talked about being rejected by women and previous girlfriends. And I thought it was really sad because being told by somebody that you're not like father material, like that's quite a hurtful thing to hear, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's quite a lot about your character rather than we don't quite match on this or our energies are different. Like, I'm not sure that's a very nice thing to... I understand her being honest, but was it was it necessary?
I wonder if she could pinpoint what it... She probably couldn't.
No.
Because what you would think, Thomas seems like he'd be very, very good.
Exactly.
Father material.
That's what I don't get. He's so solid and dependable and lovely, and they've grown together. I know we've talked a lot about Thomas and Ross, but I don't understand how she can find him to be so beautiful and genuine and supportive, and then not see those as like dependable traits you'd look for in a long-term partner and potentially have a family together. Those are the traits you do look for, or most women would. So I don't quite get where the disconnect is, unless, like you were saying, Claire, is just there's that, like, you can't quite put your finger on it essence of she doesn't fancy him quite enough, and she's picturing this, like, mythical father figure in her... I keep saying father figure. You know what I mean? Like, he's the father, not to her.
Yeah, again.
But in terms of, you know, potential, like, baby daddy, I don't quite... Yeah, I was getting a disconnect between what she was saying and how they've been together and how he is as a person, and then that full rejection of, like, you're not right. But like we said, Omar, maybe she just needs to be on her own for a bit.
Yeah, I think it's that. But Thomas is going to do all right.
He's going to do absolutely fine. But he was really upset and, like, seeing him cry. Awful.
Yeah, he was. He said, didn't he, was heartbroken.
Yeah.
Which you could see.
His speech was quite nice about, like, it's taken a lot of work to bring the walls down. I don't want to put them back
up. That was lovely.
Yeah.
And
women all over the country were dusting off their Wonder Bras and their stilettos. No, I think he'll be a real catch coming out of this.
Yeah.
So then on the couch with... I don't know if we'll talk about every couple because I can't really remember what every couple said.
Yeah, we're going to jump around a bit, I think, aren't we?
But JJ and Ella, when they were on the couch... JJ said something to Ella that was... I wrote it down because he said... Or he was almost talking to the experts, actually. He said, no matter who Ella was with, I don't know if they could make her happy because she's not happy herself.
Mm.
And that was quite a, like, sobering moment because Ella looked really sort of... I don't know if thrown by it was the right word because she looked like it was hitting a nerve and it maybe was true to an extent. And you can see those two really aren't, like, communicating very well, or they're not quite hitting the... sort of stages they thought they would when they first were attracted to each other.
Yeah, I think it's everything he said is right, because someone who's secure doesn't go looking up his ex and then upon seeing his ex
dye their hair.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is debatable because I actually think that's a wig.
It was a wig.
Yeah, okay. And then you did some detective work on Twitter, didn't you?
I could see a really fine mesh on the floor there. But yeah, it doesn't stop it being a bit creepy.
It actually suits her and everything.
We
don't like to comment on people's looks because, you know.
Oh no, she's always gorgeous, but it was like you don't look up what colour hair your ex mainly had.
Oh, and no.
your partner's exes mainly had, and then dye your hair that colour.
It's the reason for doing it that's suspect.
Yeah, but she looked amazing.
And then the whole you say abusive things to me when you're drunk. Ooh. Like, my ex is better looking than you anyway, which wasn't true. She said.
He said spiteful, didn't he? Said you can be quite spiteful.
And did he say cruel? Was it cruel or was it abusive?
I don't think he said abusive.
No, disrespectful.
Something
I think he might
like
have said
that.
She abuses him or throws
abuse. But it's such a shame. It's such a shame because you can always see, like, when you're looking in where people are going wrong very easily. But when you're in it, it's very hard to break habits. And you always wonder, like, if people were looking in on your relationship, there'd be really obvious things that you're doing where they'd be like,
they always do
really,
that.
You should stop disappearing for 3 days at a time.
Oh, yeah, you should stop doing that.
But when you're looking in, it's like, come on, Ella, all he wants you to do is just, like, rein yourself in a tiny bit. Keep that amazing character, keep that big energy, but, like, he just doesn't like you slating him when you're drunk. And it goes the other way. She wants more from him that he's not giving her. So he just needs to be a little bit more affectionate. And
But I feel like... I felt a bit sorry for JJ, which is unusual. Because I almost felt nothing for JJ throughout the previous 6 weeks. Now he's actually explaining himself quite well, and he's quite considered in what he says.
He's also quite gentle. I think I've said before that he's quite, like, childish or quite... I can't remember how I described it, but there is, like, a gentleness to him where when he explains himself, he sort of considers and takes his time and tries not to hurt her feelings. Like, I would give him that.
Yeah, it's been surprising, actually. I think he's in some cases been quite impressive in the ways he's handled things. But I felt he was getting a bit of a short end of the stick of, like, Ellie gets shit-faced and says nasty things, but he needs to work on the fact that he's not like giving up constant affirmation.
Yeah, that affirming her every day.
Yeah, was the advice, and it seems like all we've seen of him is saying, "Yeah, I like you, really nice." You know, and then it wasn't just about the looks. It was like, "Are you really kind? You light up a room."
Yeah.
And all this stuff that I said was like sounded cliched, but he has been. That's the only things I can think of him saying.
I guess they were trying to get ahead, the experts were trying to get ahead of what is the reason that Ella goes out and gets shit-faced and is inappropriate. I think it's because she's looking for validation or attention or trying to fill a void. And so they were like, if we can get ahead of that and have JJ give her more affirming, like, stuff, sentences, actions, then maybe she wouldn't feel the need.
Yeah.
So it's not that, like, I don't know. I think they were just trying to get the root cause.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just it runs a lot deeper than that, doesn't it? Like, in reality, if you've got, you know, some trauma or some issues that are quite deep, and they probably are with Ella.
Yeah.
So in reality, your partner affirming you every day may be helpful, but it runs deeper than that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to be fix those deeper issues.
I don't think so.
And also, it makes me wonder what JJ's after, because I think Ella is, she'd probably describe herself as quite high maintenance. And, you know, there's that bit in Friends where Monica's called high maintenance and Chandler, R.I.P., Matthew Perry, Chandler says, "But I love maintaining you." Do you remember that bit? And so I guess, like, is JJ the sort of guy who wants to have a high maintenance sort of woman, which Ella maybe is, and she needs that constant affirmation, confirmation. Because some people like that, they want somebody that they can sort of, that's the dynamic.
He's got his little man bag full of spare lipsticks.
But then JJ sort of hinted at the fact that he maybe was with somebody who had an alcohol dependency problem or something.
And did similar things when drunk.
Well, interestingly, we spoke about this, didn't we, that JJ, who came on insisting he wanted a different type. Not only has he gone for the same type of look that he used to go for.
Same problems. Yeah. And actually, to be fair to him, because he deserves to like break free from that, he was saying, like, "I don't want to be in this situation again." He said that a couple of times. And that sounds like he'd made himself a bit of a promise.
Mm-hmm.
And now he feels like he might be breaking it. I think he wants to run a mile.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's a lot of body language where he's sort of leaning away from her and sort of being non-committal in what you say.
Yeah,
I
know we'll go to this, but I think that showed a lot on Final Dates, didn't it?
Well, I was going to say, especially on Final Dates, we're on that yacht leaning away from each other because it looked fucking freezing.
It was so it looked so cold.
Well, should we jump to the Final Date?
Yeah, sure.
Because that did make me laugh.
Just go inside. Freezing.
So cold.
I don't give a fuck about structure anymore. We've only got three of these.
Throw them to the wind. And I feel like there was a missed opportunity. And I don't know if this is unfair, but JJ, when they first got there, there was the bucket of drinks.
Oh,
and JJ said, "Prosecco or no Secco?"
Yes.
And she said, "Oh, it's our final day, I'll have a Prosecco." And I was like, "Ooh, this could have been your chance to show willing and have a no Secco just to show that you've been listening."
Yeah.
I'm not saying she needs to give up alcohol. I'm not saying, do you know what I mean? It's all personal. Yeah. But I think that would have shown him that she'd been listening.
Yeah. Do you think they always do that on these dates where, you know, they often set up the ice bucket and the food and the what have you.
Yeah.
And it always looks like they're drinking Prosecco or champagne, like, all the time.
Yeah.
Do you think they do that as standard, one of each?
No, I think they probably want to get them a bit drunk and have them say anything. Oh, yeah.
So do you think they did that differently?
Oh, I think that was on purpose.
On purpose, just for their date?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I bet there'll be people, because if you imagine, I don't know if there have been any Muslim participants. Don't think so. But there might be people who, for whatever reason, don't want to drink.
Portia said she didn't drink, didn't she?
Right, yeah. So I guess they know, especially after the first couple of weeks of filming, it's like, oh, it's Portia's date, so there's no point having alcohol. But just
so
generally,
Portia played spin the bottle dead sober.
Well, so we'd be led to believe.
Oh my word, you heard it here first. Has anyone in the history of the world ever played spin the bottle completely sober?
You heard it here first 7 weeks after.
We're really quick on this.
No,
podcast.
I think we did say that at the time.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I thought that was a placement for that purpose. I thought that they put the no second, the Prosecco, so he could ask the question. I wasn't sure what she'd say. I think it was a shame that she said the wrong one, maybe.
Yeah. Well, it leads to a broader question as well about, we were talking about the final dates being set up for them. It sort of takes a lot out of it.
Because
basically, it's not like Jordan rang up that amusement park.
I know.
And said, oh, I need to book out the full amusement park. Can you sort out the ducks as well? I'm going to get all the ducks and I'm going to write something on the
park. I thought that with every single day because so it was, so we'll come to Peggy, but it really made me laugh. And Peggy was like, oh my God, look what you've done. I was like, he didn't do any of it.
No.
Of course he didn't. And then, yeah, when Jordan and Erica got to that bench and she was like, oh wow. And I was like, he hasn't made those sandwiches.
He didn't even put that stuff there. He's too busy on the ride.
But I get, do you think they come up with the concept?
I would like to think so. They have to come up with the idea, surely. I think so.
Yeah, probably.
Which of those dates would you most like to have gone on?
Trying to think what we had.
A really cold yacht.
No.
Pottery making and a clay fight. Adventureland closed. Or what else was there?
Cinema.
Oh, the cinema one was quite sweet.
But it depends what we're watching. I don't want to watch a film of you talking.
No, neither do I.
You were cringing, so.
Sorry, I did think that was cringe. Did you think that was cringe?
No.
I thought
it was nice for... We are really jumping around. Should we talk about Paul and Tasha?
We are.
I thought it was really nice for Paul to hear that from Tasha. It would be cringe in some scenarios, but he hasn't heard much how she feels about him, and she can't say it in person because it's too icky for her to say in person, or she's not quite there. Yeah. So to have it pre-recorded, and I think it was really nice for Paul to hear.
Yeah.
And he's had a bit of a difficult week with her in the lead up.
Yes.
So actually, I thought that was really nice.
Mm.
You, so just make it flippant again.
Sorry.
It's getting too sincere, too deep. Omar steps in.
It was, you like a big earring.
Oh, that was at the commitment set. Yeah. I mean, I love a big earring and I love a hoop. Remember, I had some amazing hoops and I lost one and I was absolutely devastated.
You don't wear one and be a pirate.
I might do because they are good hoops. They were too big.
Well, the size of those earrings, obviously impactful, but I don't think they were meant for anyone sitting down. Because when she sat down, they were coming off her shoulders and going back up into her face. Whereas if you're walking around a dinner party, maybe they can sway a little bit more.
Yeah.
My friend texted me and was like, you better mention those earrings on the podcast. So, Katie, here it is.
How do you feel about the whole discussion on the couch with them about Tasha and the conflict that they'd had at Homestays? Because a lot of chat online has been, well, they never really got to what actually happened there, and it was all sort of glossed over, and Paul didn't bring up any concerns or anything like that.
I don't remember what they talked about on the couch.
I don't really remember it.
Well, this is it. It just felt like...
quite forgettable.
Yeah, it was that was quite a big event in their relationship.
Mm.
And it was never really... It was just treated with Paul saying, yeah, we had some difficulties and we've dealt with it. You know, it wasn't really gone into in any real depth.
Paul always really has her back, though. I don't think... Not that you shouldn't be open on the couch, but when his friends have criticised her, or when other people have criticised her at dinner parties, or when things are brought up with the experts, they do seem like quite a team in public. Yeah. And I think I don't think you'd get much criticism from Paul of her. I think he really has. Well, even when she had her fight with Erica, and he very much supported it, even though he couldn't understand what had happened. So maybe it's just his support where he doesn't go into too much.
One moment at the commitment ceremony which I found interesting, and they weren't even on the couch, was Jordan and Erica. And Laura and Arthur were talking, and Laura was saying about the anonymous letter.
Oh, yes.
And she was saying, basically what she was getting at was, all the bad stuff was written by Jordan.
Oh,
Jordan went, actually, Erica wrote that bit. And everyone turned to Jordan and basically went, shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
like, what? Even Charlene was like, pack it in.
Yeah.
Like, I know, but that. I wonder what was cut out there.
Because, a lot was cut out.
Yeah, because Charlene said something like, we'll come to your relationship when you get to the couch.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, oh, it's descended into a conversation about them, perhaps.
If you remember when George was quite chivalrous and said, Peggy wrote the good bits.
Yeah.
And then Jordan was like, Erica wrote the crap bits.
That was it. Threw her under the bus, as they like to say on Muffs.
I just wonder whether he hasn't got that filter. It sounds patronising, but he is quite young, isn't he? Like 24, 25. And I think sometimes he says things in his own defence and then they don't land very well, and then he realises what he's done. And so I think he maybe was just defending himself, and then he realised he was actually throwing his own partner, his own wife, completely under the bus.
Because really, what does it matter? Does it matter that much if Laura thinks it was you? Above thinking it was Erica.
Yeah.
Surely that doesn't matter as much as you supporting each other.
Yeah. Which I think if he'd sat and thought about it, he'd agree with you.
He would.
But in the moment, he maybe just blurted.
He wanted it to be right.
We have lots of blurters, because obviously Arthur will come to Arthur with his blurting. So Erica and Jordan weren't even on the sofa at that point.
No, and then when they did get on the sofa, he was what did they say?
Yeah, I can't remember.
I feel like the whole commitment ceremony is such a blur. This isn't very professional of us, but I've just got final dates and dinner party in my head, and the commitment ceremony feels like ages ago.
I've got a bit of a block around them on the commitment ceremony couch. Well, they must have talked about the homestay, because it came after, didn't it?
Yeah. Oh, I remember what it was. That they were. Mel said that they were point scoring because they got into their usual thing of just, you know.
Oh, because Jordan said to Erica, "Well, what have you actually done for me?
Oh, yeah. What have you done for me lately?
And she was just like,
"Are we really going to get into that?
Do you really want to go there?
Do you really want to go there?"
And Mel's like, "Right, time out. Let's not point score anymore."
Like, to the expert's credit, it worked almost instantaneously because Paul was like, "Right, shuffle up, put your arm around her. Let's focus on the good things." And actually after that, they were quite good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny how those small things can have such a huge impact when you're focusing on like the good or the bad.
Yeah, because Paul said...
The reframe.
Paul said it's impossible to be angry, to be arguing when you're that close with them. I don't know
if that's true, but...
I know, I was thinking...
If I was that close to Paul, I might not argue.
I think you could still be angry.
Do you think all of those ducks had something written on the bottom?
Yeah, I do. Do you not?
Well, we were saying that, like, can I get another? Like, no, just get that same one.
That exact one there.
Those three in that corner. It's quite sweet.
It was sweet.
I like stuff like that. It was quite sweet.
Their final date was nice, I think.
Creepy.
It went well.
Creepy in the closed off.
That's why I wouldn't want to do it. You know, when you said before, which final date would you want?
Oh.
I wouldn't want the fairground one.
Fancy amusement park.
No.
It's creepy, isn't it?
Nobody else there. It's too weird.
And also, when you go to a amusement park, when you go to like a fairground, part of the fun is like the bustle.
Mm.
And like, you know.
Yeah.
The vibe.
The hubbub.
Like a very, very quiet. Like, you know, I'm sure billionaires can close off Disneyland and go in, but would you want to be in a really quiet, empty place?
You wouldn't want literally nobody there. No. You don't want a queue.
Maybe they should have
hired
some extras.
Yeah.
Not too good looking.
Drama students pretending to be carny folk.
Exactly.
Well, should we talk about Arthur and Laura then? On the commitment ceremony final dates?
Yes.
So I remember at the commitment ceremony, she said to him, "You have to meet me halfway."
That's, she was talking about she's done a lot of heavy lifting.
Mm. Which is true.
Is it?
Well, it's undeniable that like if she wasn't trying to drive the relationship or talk about things or talk about the future or get... I don't think he'd be bringing up any big conversations.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm not slating him as a person because I find him hilarious.
Yeah.
But I think she is doing a lot of the sort of manoeuvring them through the experiment.
Mm.
Yeah, it's true. But some of the things she says just make it sound like she's trying to fucking get HS2 built or something. That's like some overwhelming project. Yeah, that's like, if it's that much effort, why haven't you put leave so far? Every week, commitment ceremony, I did a tweet just saying, "Welcome to another episode of What Arthur Did Wrong."
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just getting tired. If, fair enough, she might well be right, and she has done the heavy lifting, but it's like, is it worth it? It doesn't seem like it's worth it. But he doesn't seem to have changed, especially, at any point.
He said something quite sweet when he said, "Oh, it's going to be a bit harder for me, because it's my personality and my sense of humour." I think for her, let's imagine she'd never been married before.
Mm.
I think it would be very different. I think she has seen this as the stakes are bigger.
Mm-hmm.
She's gone into this experiment and she's really trying to show willing.
Are they Matt and Adrienne steaks?
Yeah. I think...
Ooh, little steak.
Throwback.
I feel like... Oh, I didn't even get the joke. Oh, with the pepper sauce. I think because she's been married before and because she's come into this... And she did say... Oh, we didn't take her at her word, but she did say, "This is my last chance," and that's not true. But I think if she hadn't been married before, maybe she would have written leave because she's like, "Well, this is a waste of my time." Mm. But she's really trying to show that she's going for a different person and giving it her all and... I think she has in her head she wants to be the bigger person and give everything, everything, everything until she can give no more. Maybe we're getting to the point where she can give no more very soon.
Yeah.
But Arthur's like a fun, sweet person to be around. I don't think she's sick of him as a person. Mm. I think she just doesn't feel like he's pulling his weight.
Yeah. I mean, he absolutely smashed her with that clay in the face.
That's too much, that bit.
I kind of liked that.
That was like a lot right in the face.
Because sometimes these couples just don't, like, they're having any fun.
Yeah.
So I quite like that she really wasn't expecting that. And then it turned into, and luckily she took it the right way.
Yeah.
She could have stormed off. But that's an example of his risky sense of humour.
Another one. What about when they chinked glasses and said, I love you?
That was funny. That was really good.
I think there's a girl out there who would find Arthur hilarious.
Yeah.
And he has that niche sense of humour where, yeah, when he said, I love you, obviously he's joking. Well, is he?
I don't know. He said it sort of throwaway, but it wasn't... I mean, we keep saying, but we're going to come to the dinner party and talk about his sense of humour, because it's at once... It's interesting anyway. We'll come to it. But I think in the moment, I think he did just say it as a throwaway thing. Love you.
And he said afterwards, in that moment, I did love you.
Yeah. Oh my.
And then she was like, oh my God.
It just made it so much worse afterwards, didn't it? At the dinner party. Yeah.
But the clay date, they both seemed to enjoy.
Yeah.
And it was quite lighthearted. And obviously everyone's going to make the link to... the film Ghost. It wasn't quite on Ghost levels. It was lacking the Patrick Swayze element.
No, that would have been cringe. But so it was Ghost levels.
But it was quite a sweet date. And I just, yeah, I think he could be matched with somebody who just finds him hilarious. And just is a little bit off the wall and just thinks he's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes her friends laugh because her friends are similar to her, whereas I don't think he's going to make Laura's friends laugh.
Yeah, I think that's a safe bet. Well, what about George and Peggy? George turned up to the commitment ceremony dressed like Michael Douglas in Wall Street.
With the red dress.
Oh, yeah. And they were very colour coordinated. She had a red dress on, didn't she? Was it red?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I remember. Yeah, his outfit was brilliant.
And there was a lot of, oh, my family don't approve him. And then the music changed. It's like, but I want to stay with him.
Yeah. But he's been standing up for himself, hasn't he? Because I do like this about George. He was like, I'm not going to give up my passions and hobbies. And I am good enough.
Yeah.
I'm going to prove it to you. I am good enough. Like, your family are wrong. And I like that he wasn't just taking the absolute beating that he was getting.
I mean, that final date was
I've done a wedding in that venue.
Really?
Where they had their final date. So Johnny was like nudging me on the sofa.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, we had almost as many candles.
There was a lot of candles.
The bride was a lot more chill.
But he pitched it perfectly.
Oh my word, that was right up her strasse. Literally, what else could she have wanted?
Mm-hmm.
But again, it was that funny thing of like, wow, he didn't actually do it.
Yeah, where did he dig our wedding dress out from?
Yeah,
no, that's true. He did stage that bit as if that was
must have
him,
done
and he
that
got bit. It cleaned or something.
Yeah, put it on a creepy mannequin.
Oh, she likes creepy mannequins. She had one in her room.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah.
That was the perfect date for Peggy. She wants these big, expressive declarations of love.
Yes.
She wants the like knight in shining armour.
The whole
fairy tale.
She wants
to be able to tell her mum that he pulled it out of the bag.
The fairy tale never ends apart from Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I think it's 7 to 11.
Wow, 7 to 11.
Yeah, well, because people at work, because I put on a tweet that it was 2 till 5, but then he replied saying it's, I think it was 7 to 11.
All right,
wow.
Because so, people are after work, they're gaming after work, aren't
they? Yeah, of course. That's a lot of gaming.
Think
though.
Of the people.
But then any other time, fairy tale.
Yeah. It was. Yeah, I mean, he seems to know how to handle her and manage her and please her, because he did nail that final date.
Yeah.
And he has a lot of patience and he speaks very highly of her. Like, a lot of people, you know, on social media or in discussions are like finding it very tiresome how often she brings up the gaming or how often she seems to berate him. But he himself really, really seems to like her.
Yeah, I agree. But this goes back to Arthur at the retreat saying, if I'm not bothered by Laura talking down to me, why is anyone else?
Right.
You know.
He should still be bothered.
Yeah.
And also, do you think George really does like her, or do you think he's still sort of saying what she wants to hear? And
well, George, is he another one who's not really been in a serious relationship?
No,
yeah. I wonder if that's a...
He's like, wow, having a girlfriend is really hard work. Sorry, wife.
Wife.
Yeah.
No, I think he does really like her.
Yeah.
Don't you? Because the effort and everything is there.
And he's putting up with a lot of criticism.
Yeah.
I was saying to my sisters, it's almost like she's negging him. Because you know when a guy, it's normally a guy negging a girl, when, and the way that he criticizes, sorry, the way that she criticizes him, it almost makes him like her more and want her more. Mm-hmm. The more we've seen her say that he's not good enough for her, or not in so many words, but you know, his job and his hobbies and her family don't like him, he's like trying to prove himself more and more.
Yeah.
Proper textbook negging.
Yeah. But then what happens when these things aren't there anymore? You know what I mean? What happens when they get to their own lives and they just get on with it? And you know what? These things can't always come back round. There's a problem with your hobbies. There's a problem with my parents. There's a problem with my family. Mm-hmm. You know, eventually those things are going to have to settle at some point.
I wasn't saying it was healthy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just was wondering whether he actually kind of likes that she's
hard
to get.
He likes the challenge.
Yeah, there's been a real challenge, and now it's literally like knight in shining armor stuff to try and win her heart, and it's all very old-fashioned. I've just remembered a final date that I actually would pick.
Yeah,
that cute little treehouse with the hot tub and the slide, Matt and Adrienne's. I was like, where is this place?
That's the type of thing I would look for on Airbnb.
It looked gorgeous.
As long as it was pet friendly.
Yeah,
I'd book that for
I think
us.
That would be pet friendly.
Yeah, and that would be a lovely little
the wolves
little
in the woods might not be safe for dogs. I thought that was such a cute place. My only fear was, is it fun enough to get the fun side of Matt out? Because you need more of an activity, maybe.
True.
Right. What was maybe clay? The clay.
Yeah.
Oh no, they've already done. Matt and Adrienne already did clay making on their honeymoon.
Oh yeah.
That was when it all went wrong.
That's when she said he was showing. And also, that's when they made jokes about making like phallic models and bum models and boobs.
Yeah.
I thought their date was a really cute setup.
Yeah.
But then the conversation about
kids.
Who wants kids? Can I say one thing?
No.
I'll stop. I can't believe that it wouldn't be on your forms that you were adamantly for or against children. He seems like it's been his lifelong dream to have kids, so he would have put 100% yes. And the way she's been talking about it, unless it's how she's just wording it to Matt, she must have written very, very unlikely to want children, slash don't want children at all. So how were they put together in the first place?
Well, definitely... We've spoken to PCB about this because in the first series of the sort of revamp, Morag and Luke had this issue.
Yeah.
And PCB said, I remember the interview with Morag. She said on the programme, I don't want kids. But he said, during the application process, I have a very different recollection of what she said. So it's something they ask, is my point.
Yeah.
Everyone, you know, online is like, why haven't they asked this? It's like, it's one of the most obvious questions kind of anyone would ask it. And I think Adrienne is maybe, you know...
She's probably put maybe on the form.
Yeah.
Then she's not 100% feeling it with Matt. So she's gone like, not a priority. And she said something like, not in my 5-year plan.
Mm.
And Matt, it's just a difficult one, isn't it?
I wonder if they're both kind of... were not so definite about it in the application process. You know, if they both sort of went somewhere in the middle, then you wouldn't see it as being a difficulty in their match, would you? Whereas when it's coming out in conversations, it's like, yes, definitely, no, more than likely, no.
So, I'm just imagining like they're sat in the hot tub and then like Charlene, Paul and Mel come out from behind a tree. You said in the application you didn't want kids, you little liar.
It's here on this form.
We put you to go. It's on page 13.
You owe me one child.
Which, speaking of children, did anyone pick up on when... Georges said he wanted 2 kids.
Oh my goodness.
And
I was
Peggy
just
said
gonna say
Peggy
that.
Said she wanted 1. And Arthur went, so that's 3
that's
in total.
Three.
He said that's 3 in total. I was like, I can't work out if you're joking.
I think he was trying to be
but
funny.
That
again
is the
then.
Sort of humour that some girls would love. I thought that was hilarious. As long as he was joking, that was absolutely comedy
I think he
gold.
Was joking.
If he wasn't joking. if he wasn't joking, it's even funnier.
We spoke about the kids thing though. It's like this whole thing of changing your mind. And firstly, no one's really said, well, Matt might change his mind and decide he doesn't want them. It always seems to be about people who don't want them changing their mind to wanting them. But I don't think it depends on the person that you meet, does it? I think that's a decision you should have made internally.
Yeah,
yourself.
I find that an interesting approach from Adrienne.
Did you guys talk about wanting kids or not wanting kids quite soon?
And this is what we were talking about the other day, wasn't it, after the episode?
If that's not too personal,
like,
a question for this podcast.
Let's get personal.
This comedy podcast.
No, but I think because we're older,
We
talked about it sooner. Whereas I guess for Matt and Adrienne, they're younger. So maybe there is that thing of, do we need to talk about it right now? So maybe they don't.
Are they early 30s?
Yeah, they're not that much younger than when
is
we met.
I don't think Adrienne's 30 yet, is she?
I couldn't tell you, but I don't want to offend her, but I thought they were just 30, 31.
Yeah, I thought they were like very early 30s.
Might be wrong.
Yeah, so I suppose you would still talk about it relatively soon. But it seems like a strange approach from Adrienne. I haven't met anyone yet who would change my mind. Mm-hmm. And I think that puts too much pressure on the other person.
It was quite sweet in a way, because obviously everyone has their reasons for not wanting kids, totally legit, but what she said was
fucking annoying.
Well, she said, I've spent too much of my life caring for other people, or something to those lines, and I was like, fair enough.
Yeah.
Absolutely fair enough. But that same sort of, if that's your argument, she might have a lovely 5 years, if she was with the right person, travelling, seeing the world, not being a carer, and then actually turn around and want children because it's a separate thing from being a carer. Like, it's like wanting kids is like a whole nother debate, and she's almost parceled it up with not wanting to have too much. I don't know, maybe they're so similar, but I think it was because she'd had to care for her mum or dad.
Mm-hmm. And maybe like she's fudging her answer because it's too brutal to say, no, definitely not.
From the Roz school book of get rid of somebody.
Yeah. And I think there, I know we talk about the differences between men and women and all that sometimes, but there is more pressure. It is more unusual, or people think it's more unusual, for a woman to say, no, I don't want kids, and that's that.
100%.
It's almost like a woman has to go, well, and people question it a bit more. Well, you might in future. Yeah. Well, you're young now. Well, you haven't met the right person. Yeah. Well, you're not married. You'll change your mind then. You'll change your mind then. And it's just often not the case. So maybe she is kind of feeling like she has to be a bit, cagey about her answer, but actually she probably knows what the answer is, but people don't really like to hear that.
Is definitely gendered, isn't it, and how you accept it, and how easy it is potentially for a bloke to get a vasectomy versus a woman to have any sort of like final I can't remember what it's called.
I think it puts too much pressure on the relationship. That's what I think. And are you going to change your mind? Can I change your mind? She might not want to change her mind. Maybe,
And how long do you give it?
Yeah.
Do you stay together for 6 or 7 years?
Well, this is it.
And then you've got to make a decision at some point.
And then one of you is going to be disappointed. And you can't meet in the middle with a kid. You can't have half a child.
You just have one on the weekends.
With the 5-year plan, I guess you're like... Or do you reassess your plan every year? You don't do a 5 years and then reset.
I don't know. I've never had a 5-year
plan. We don't even have a 5-week plan.
No. A couple of people have said 5-year plan this week, and I thought, oh, fuck, am I meant to have a 5-year plan? I keep hearing about it a lot, but I'm all right.
The trick is to write down things you've already done, because then you can tick them off. Have a successful podcast. Get married.
Tick, tick.
Get a dog.
Get a dog.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Sarah, you had something to say about people's entrances to the dinner party.
I just loved the fashion. It was like the Oscars. And I actually made notes because I was just like, these outfits are mad. So Erica almost came in like a Marilyn Monroe sort of vibe, in that like sparkly dress with a shawl that was like a fur wrap. Mm-hmm. And then I thought Ella came in looking a little bit like Cher.
Cher.
Because
I said
she was
Abba.
Wearing a glittered jumpsuit and
yes.
with the dark hair.
With the boa cuffs.
And then Laura was in like a cutout blush number, which was beautiful.
That was quite weddingy, I thought.
And then Adrienne was in a structured red, sort of like Oscar de la Renta, or that maybe like beautiful. Vivian Westwood, very structured red dress. And then Peggy was in the feathers. Like everyone went up a notch, because sometimes they come into the they come into the dinner parties and you're like, bloody hell, what are they wearing? And this time it was like even more.
Spinal,
and
final.
Then, yeah, Tasha was in some shimmers with like an off... Tasha looked lovely, actually, because she was quite in like a delicate off-the-shoulder, like glittery with some patterns.
I can't bring that
but
to mind now.
The outfits were amazing. That's all I wanted to say.
You got anything about the men?
No, they were so boring.
Yeah, what were the men wearing?
No, Nathaniel there with a suit and no shirt.
No.
Arthur was wearing the shirt which had been... recommended to him by Nathaniel or bought for him by Nathaniel.
Oh really?
Yeah, the white with the holes.
Yes. Mm. I don't know how I know that.
No, I think I knew that as well. Nathaniel styled him that time.
Anyway, I'm no fashionista, but they just sort of blew me away. It was beautiful.
Yeah, they were beautiful.
We're coming back to Jordan sticking his nose in.
No.
The honesty box questions, because that was part of this. Yeah.
Yeah, but the experts backed Jordan. Do you remember? Because the experts
yes.
were like... Well, I could see that because Matt wasn't being honest.
He was. I think he was being... What do you want him to do? Like, you know, everyone there knows he wants kids and she doesn't. They've spoken about it with everyone.
Yeah.
No, but have they said it out loud to the whole group? Because they said it on the date. They said it on their final date. And then they said it quietly to whoever they were sat with.
Yeah, they were talking
but
to
But I wasn't sure if everybody knew. And obviously, no relationship's perfect. And both of their answers with the honesty box were both like, yeah, everything's fine. And I think obviously Jordan was meddling.
Yeah.
But the experts backed him and was like, well, he obviously knows that Matt needs some encouragement, to be honest.
Well, I can believe that Matt does sweep things under the carpet. He seems like that kind of type. But sometimes that's the appropriate response.
Yeah.
Around a table full of people about such a big topic.
Yeah.
When you have already spoken about it with the person you need to speak to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think either of them were honest though, really, because then Adrienne was like, yeah, everything's fine. And you're like, okay. That's fine if that's what they choose to do. Because obviously, I always wonder with the honesty box, it's not there's a gun to your head. You can say whatever you want.
No.
It's like when people swear on the Bible in a courtroom, like, if they don't believe in the Bible, then it doesn't mean
anything.
It
doesn't mean anything, yeah.
You could lie as much as you like.
Oh my.
Not that we condone lying in a court of law.
But it was like, when you open the honesty box, it's not like life or death. You're not going to drop. It's not like it's like Dr. Evil, you're going to drop through the floor into
well,
like
you, yeah, so
a pit
you can
of fire.
Think about the person... who you're with and how they're going to take what you say more than what you say because
good example being when Erica
took the drink. That's exactly what
she
I was going to say.
Yeah.
In the game,
the Never Have I Ever
which really takes me back to like 2005 and I hadn't done anything so I couldn't drink at all she drank and Jordan looked livid.
Yeah, it's amazing
how little it takes to get
someone wound up.
Yes, but she could tell, so it was like, oh, come on, Jordan, give her a chance. She was being honest.
Yeah.
And she just had to whisper, like, oh, it was that time when...
Yeah, you know you've had a rough patch, I think.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, I've defended Jordan quite a lot, but I have also said he goes on a bit. And, you know, again, this might be part of his OCD, just getting fixated on things like, it's not that big a deal. Of course, she might have thought about putting leave.
Yeah, but they didn't seem to cause that... bigger kind of rupture between them actually
because
did it.
she had to orchestrate the situation. She had to gently hold him in and whisper to him, it's fine. It was about she had to manage him. She said it, she could feel him turn because they've had a really cute moment, then she said it, and then he started to, like, you could tell he was turning into a bad mood or like a or like turning away from her, and she had to sort of like gently whisper, it's fine.
Was that the same question when Laura and Arthur both drank?
Probably.
And Ella and JJ both drank.
That was it. Ella and JJ was the interesting one.
They both drank
Ella's
as well.
Ella's never going to write leave.
They both drank.
Did she?
Mm-hmm. Because that's what I said to you.
Yeah,
did they
you
both
point,
drink?
You pointed out to me, yeah.
So JJ, we know he's thought about leave, I guess, when he's shared those things on the couch about when Ella's drunk.
Mm-hmm. JJ's,
but I don't think we knew Ella had said she thought she might leave.
JJ's body language, there was a point near the beginning of the dinner party where somebody was asking them about the future...
Oh, it was Jordan and Erica, I think.
And he was just leaning away from Ella. And she said, I would be willing to move to London and he didn't say anything.
They just literally didn't respond.
He didn't even go, oh, cool, thanks, or that's nice to hear, or like, don't, I'm not that into you. Yeah. He just said nothing.
Yeah, or that would be exciting. Can you imagine if you're... let's think about it a bit more, or and literally nothing.
And this is what I mean about looking in on a relationship. Like, it's easy for us to look in and go, silence speaks volumes, run, Ella, run, because he's not that into you. But when you're in it, you're like, oh, well, maybe he still likes me. Maybe he's happy I'm moving to London. He didn't say a word.
I know.
And then it was compounded by Jordan and Erica, like, kissing. And
They were snogging away.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about those pre-honesty box games, like the sexual fetish things, and George was just like, I like to be rimmed.
Oh yeah. Do you know what, I thought he was doing like a comedy callback, but nobody on the show had seen him with the mum. I thought he was doing a comedy callback actually he was saying that dry.
People go, he was going, oh, I'm not joking.
I know. And then wasn't there a foot fetish? Was that Arthur?
That was Arthur.
But he didn't voice up.
No,
unless we just didn't see it. But
when did Arthur drop the bombshell? Because this is what's got me cross with Arthur.
Oh, that was another question.
When did he drop the bomb? Oh, yeah. One of the questions was, when was your last date before
did
you
George
came on
ask
the show?
That?
I think
George asked that, didn't he?
Yeah, maybe.
And everyone was... We didn't hear everyone else's replies.
No,
and I'm guessing it would have been like, oh, 3 months ago or 6 months ago. I've not been on a date since my serious relationship. I don't know what everyone else's were to give context. Yeah. And then Arthur said about a week ago. Which is Harrison levels.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, but only because Harrison's so much worse.
Yeah.
It's in the same ballpark.
Coming into a show when you know you're getting married, having just literally gone on a date the week before, shows absolutely zero commitment to the process.
We don't know if Arthur's got a 21-year-old on the outside like Harrison. But yeah, it was the same thing, wasn't it?
And everyone's reaction, and I really felt for Laura because I think she was already teetering, and then she was like, I can take that your humour is a little bit off, but for you to be like literally coming into this with, like, what?
I know. It just baffles you, doesn't it? I don't really... A week.
But also,
you know what you've signed up for, so what is the point?
The girl he went on a date with, did she know he was going in? If it'd gone well, what would have happened?
Yeah, that's what I said. What was he planning to do if he decided he really liked that girl? And then what?
Hopefully.
Don't pack your bags, but just wait for me. Yeah. I'll be back.
Stay in the process, because we know he's between places at the moment. Stay in the process.
Can I stay with you?
Approximately 10 weeks.
Yeah. Do you live anywhere near Milton Keynes? Because I do think his humour is quite endearing and like with the right person, but that just shows like a real level of a lack of commitment, a lack of understanding. An immaturity.
Yeah.
But his jokes themselves weren't bad jokes.
No.
There was like things like, oh, was it in the mingly bit when they were saying, oh, what's been your favourite moment?
He said JJ coming
Oh, that was quite funny.
It was quite funny, but for some reason it didn't land.
Yeah.
It didn't land.
The problem is, what does he then follow it up with? Because we'd actually don't know what he then followed it up with, do we? Mm-hmm. So it's fine to go, oh, JJ coming back, haha, how funny. Then what did he follow it up with that he could actually kind of, win Laura back a little
bit? Yeah, because he just went, oh, I was joking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I do find him quite funny.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Laura needs so much from him because she's like, meet me halfway, do some of the heavy lifting. So like the constant jokes, he's just not proving any sincerity. Mm-hmm. And then to say you went on a date a week before... Again, seems so insincere and lack of commitment. So you can be a funny guy as long as you're also like meeting her what she needs. But because he's doing neither,
The jokes become that much more infuriating.
Yeah,
and especially when they're like not kind of landing. Like when
he can't read a room.
No,
but nor can I. So I do sympathise.
When Matt and Adrienne were doing their honesty box thing, and Matt had asked about, was asked what to change about her. And she was asked the same thing, and she said, no, I'm happy. And Arthur was just like, all right, next, come on, let's move it along. Yeah. It was like, people are already pissed off and you can't keep going. It's like, but he's, he's enjoying his red wine. And
I can
dislike him when he said about the date thing. That was what turned it. But his humour's quite funny. It's just... It's not Laura's humour.
Like, I think on paper, all the stuff he said, I think there was something else as well that he...
Well, he interrupted Tasha, didn't
he? Of course.
But what that's did he the final straw.
What did he actually say? Can you remember?
He interrupted Tasha at the worst moment.
Oh, when she said she wasn't in love, but was.
Yeah. So do you? I think the question was: are you in love with him? Mm-hmm. No, I'm not. And then he interrupted, but she was about to say, "But I'm falling in love."
Yeah.
So no, I'm not.
What he said though.
But it was just the worst timing because then there was a huge pause and then Tasha took the time to address... So it was left hanging. No, I'm not in love with Paul.
Yeah.
And that must have been left hanging for a good 2-3 minutes because then Arthur interrupted. Then Tasha and Arthur had like a... Well, Tasha had a... I was going to say back and forth, but it was just forth. and then she said... And you ruined my moment because I was about to say I am falling in love with him.
Yeah,
it was just such comedy. The timing.
It was. It was funny.
I can't remember what he said though.
I can't remember what Arthur said.
And then Paul came back with such a sweet sort of to diffuse. Is diffuse the right word? Like to diffuse the bomb, to diffuse the tension. That was the nicest, most aggressive falling in love I've ever.
That was so sweet. Yeah.
Which makes me think that he does get her.
Yeah.
Because we don't always get her, and a lot of us think I couldn't be in a relationship like that. It's quite volatile.
Yeah,
but I think he gets that she means well.
Yeah,
and he sort of is able to handle. Like I said before about having someone who's high maintenance, she's high maintenance in a different way of like her emotions or her anger management or whatever.
Yeah,
but he seems to be a real calming influence.
Well, I've been quite critical of Tasha being, in inverted commas, fiery, and have defended Arthur quite a few times, but definitely on that occasion she was right to be pissed off. Just let them have their time of answering the questions, especially after you've made a series of jokes that haven't gone over well. People have told you to shut the fuck up.
You know people are not really on board with you right now. So just have a moment to yourself.
I also thought the way that she was fiery there was much more controlled.
Yes.
And she was like, this is what you've done, this is why it's not appropriate, everyone else has had their turn, please can I have my turn. And it wasn't like aggressive hands in someone's face.
And it wasn't like name calling.
Wasn't name calling, and it was like a fiery side that Paul probably quite respected of like maintaining her boundaries or whatever you want to call it. And Arthur stayed really quiet.
I know.
He didn't say a word.
That did shut him up, actually, didn't it? So it was funny though, they had that question as well, didn't they, of the other couples.
Oh yeah.
Who's gonna last 5 years, 5 months, five days, whatever it was. And Paul said, right, I'll go.
Actually, I've just realised they weren't in it because they were doing it.
No, they weren't in it. Right. So Paul sort of said, well, I'll go and you just let me know if you don't agree. As if to protect her.
No, that was
because
sweet.
We know how things perhaps have been with some members of the group. But then Tasha was just straight, well, I think that 5 years, that 5 years. She just was straight in there, wasn't she? She's not with it.
And
so that was quite fun.
Who came bottom? Was it Arthur and Laura?
Arthur and Laura.
5 minutes.
Yeah.
Was it 5 minutes?
And then going back up, it was then Ella and JJ. Matt and Adrienne?
No, I think they were higher. I think then it was Jordan
Erica
and Erica.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Distance. Then Matt
and then the highest was Peggy and George. Mm. And this is what I do not get about Peggy and George. Like, you cannot call it. Last week we thought they were both going to write leave.
God,
now they're being voted the strongest couple.
Oh, we haven't even said that. That, like, I was relatively confident that they were going to leave. Or one of them had put leave, at least. At least one of them put leave at the commitment ceremony. So I was stunned that they stayed. And then it's gone so well since then. But honestly, it's the reunion coming up next week. I don't know how long there is between the final vows and the reunion.
Yeah.
I'd guesstimate that it's probably 4 to 5 hours. But
wouldn't it be amazing if it was like a decade? And we didn't know that this was filmed in like 2013. And then we're like, who's still together?
It'd explain those phones.
Yeah. Yes. It would. And some of the haircuts. Oh, man.
Final week coming up.
Wow.
Oh my God.
We've almost made it.
What am I going to do with all my evenings?
I know.
Take up knitting.
And what are you going to do on Tuesday and Friday?
No, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start a Twitch account. And I'm going to start slut dropping in my corner of my room. Kids, don't come in. Mummy's filming.
This is how Mummy buys your shoes. So it's going to be the first three weddings on Monday. I believe we've got Laura and Arthur, George and Peggy, Jordan and Erica.
Yeah.
So right. Predictions.
Oh. Well, I do think both... I think Erica and Jordan will both put stay.
Me too.
Okay. Do the put stay? No.
I do.
Say they're going to stay together in their vows.
I think they will. I think she has her doubts, which she did voice at the dinner party. We didn't talk about that. She did voice her doubts of like... Does he have all the qualities you'd look for in a long-term partner? And you could see her thinking like, sort of.
Mm. Yeah.
And she worded it in a way to sort of placate him.
Yeah.
But I think they will both write, I do, or stay, or whatever it is they write. Biro. Get a Sharpie. I think they'll both stay.
Yeah, okay. I do.
Yeah, I agree.
Recommit.
I agree with that. Yeah, recommit.
Recommit.
George and Peggy?
Too hard to call because I think either one of them could pull the carpet out from the other. Is that an expression? I get all my expressions.
It's a rug.
Either one of them could clean the carpet.
Either one of them could take the donkey out for a walk and we wouldn't have a clue which bird in the hand was which, because I think it would depend how they woke up that morning. I do genuinely think, because I think George could just come to the end of his tether.
If there
was a weird afternoon the afternoon before or whatever. And I think Peggy could be not stringing him along, but she could be like, do I actually want to be with this guy? And uh-huh. I think they could shock us. I think one of them could say no.
I'm undecided. But I did think last night we spoke about it and I said I think they'll both recommit.
I'm leaning towards...
So I'm going to stick with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they probably will, but I'm looking for a little bit of final draw.
Yeah. Well, I think they probably will, but then whether that extends to the reunion...
It's all well and good,
but that's the same for all of them, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because we've said Erica and Jordan might... Erica and Jordan might say yes, but if we fast forward and it's 6 months to the reunion, the distance between them and the maturity levels of whatever might not have actually manifested into a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Laura and Arthur, I think, will be the... Okay.
No.
I don't know what Arthur will write. But I think Laura will say go.
I've run. I think Arthur's energy was so I'm fucking done with this.
It felt like that, didn't it?
Yeah. I'm going to smash my wine.
Yeah.
Say some shit. These people need to loosen up. I did a poll about like were Arthur's jokes.
And I saw the result.
But poorly timed bad jokes, or do the group need to relax? Did it on Instagram, did it on Twitter? The majority of people think the group need to fucking relax, which I'm kind of surprised about.
Well, it just goes to show that his jokes aren't bad. It's just they're landing with the wrong partner.
Yes.
And in the wrong...
At the wrong time.
Vibe, yeah. He's not like... He doesn't do like bigoted jokes or anything like that. They're just...
Well, not that we saw.
No, not
that we saw. I do wonder what we didn't see, because they were really unimpressed with him.
He was getting a bit slurry.
Yeah.
I'd love it if he'd just gone into his Jim Davidson material. All right, well, that's us for this week then.
I don't know why I feel emotionally exhausted. I don't know why.
It's weird. I started this by saying, I can't remember now, it's so long ago when we started recording. Maybe it wasn't
it's gone
in the,
dark outside.
Maybe it wasn't in the intro that since Thomas and Roz left, that it's felt a bit flatter, but I don't know, we've had a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
I do miss them though.
Don't you miss them already?
Yeah, because I felt like they added a little bit of like sincerity, or like Peggy and George. Sorry, I'm starting again. Peggy and George were voted by the group to last the longest as a couple.
Yeah.
And they're absolutely volatile and I don't believe in them as a couple.
Yeah.
And so for them to be voted the strongest, I guess Tasha and Paul weren't in the ranking.
Yeah.
But I do miss Thomas and Roz.
Oh.
Yeah.
We see them at the reunion.
So just a reminder, we've got the Coercive Control special with Mel Chilling coming out on Sunday, so please give that a listen and spread it around. that's an appropriate way. Until then, goodbye from me, Omar Abid.
That was a very dramatic pause. Goodbye from me, Sarah Clark.
Goodbye from me, Clalyn Rabid.
I'm a hell of a woman.
You sure are, Omar.
You are a hell of a woman. I forgot about that.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.